our congregation, they've been supporting him, both congregations have been supporting him for the last 4 years or whatever, and his lovely wife Rebecca, okay? And then afterwards, everybody is invited for some coffee and cake or what have you, and they can visit with Peter, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and just to deserve that temporal and eternal punishment. Sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ,
to be
gracious and merciful to me,
a poor sinful
being.
Upon this your confession, I by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Amen. through the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation and complete forgiveness, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading from the Augsburg Confession, which was submitted by His Majesty Charles V at the Imperial Meeting at Augsburg. The chief article of faith, this is Article 8, what the Church is. Although the Church properly is a congregation of saints and true believers, nevertheless, since in this life many hypocrites and evil persons are mingled therewith, it is lawful to use the sacraments administered by evil men according to the saying of Christ. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat in Matthew 23. Both the sacraments and the word are effectual by reason of the institution and commandment of Christ, notwithstanding they be administered by evil men. They even condemn the Donatists and such alike, who deny it to be lawful to use and ministry of evil men in the church, and who thought, and through the mystery of the evil men, be unprofitable and of none effect. So far the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy, eat. Yes, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight in itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I give him for a witness of the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that is not known, a nation that knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let the Lord return unto, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, and waters the earth, and maketh bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So far. This morning, the Book of Galatians, chapter 3. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So far the epistle lesson. According to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And the offer of sacrifice, according to the which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So far, the Holy Gospel.
Holy Christian and Apostolic Church, I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins. this morning will be from Luke 2, the circumcision and naming of Jesus. You may be seated. The eighth day of Christmas. Today we celebrate not eight maids a-milking, not New Year's Day, but the feast of the circumcision and naming of our Lord Jesus. And I think today is probably the strangest feast of the whole church year, especially because it seems so unrelated to New Year's Day. Yet the circumcision of Jesus does have plenty to do with our salvation. It's the occasion when Jesus first revealed how he would save the world, by his blood and by fulfilling the law of righteousness in our place. So I can think of no better subject to start off a new year than the chief work of God's only begotten Son, his work for our salvation. Salvation is right there in the name they gave him according to the instructions of the angel. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And remember what the name Jesus means. It means Savior. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, Yeshua. And Yeshua comes from the word Yesha, to save. So like Joshua of old, Jesus is God's faithful servant who saves us and leads us into the promised land, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus saved us from our sins by the payment of his holy, precious blood. And his first saving drops were shed today, on the eighth day, when he was circumcised. They were the first drops of the new covenant in his blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. The Lord's Supper starts today. Those drops revealed what our salvation would cost him. His lifeblood. The price demanded in Leviticus chapter 17 when it says, "It is the blood that makes atonement by the life. For the life of every creature is its blood. Its blood is its life." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But where there is forgiveness of sins by the shedding of Jesus' blood, there is also life and salvation. So today we give thanks for the beginning of our Savior's suffering for us. We celebrate the first pledge of his full atoning payment that he made on the cross. The suffering of Jesus in our place is what theologians call his passive obedience. He endured the Father's wrath passively. He suffered as a sacrificial victim. On the other hand, when theologians speak of the active obedience of Christ, they mean Jesus also actively obeyed his Father's will. He went about doing good. He lived a perfectly righteous life under the law. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He carried out his Father's will and went willingly to the cross. If we would be saved from our sins, we need both the passive and the active righteousness of Jesus. For we do not keep God's law. We break it actively and passively by our sins of commission and our sins of omission. We need someone to deliver us from the law's demand for the penalty of blood. Someone to fulfill the law's demand for a righteous life. Sorry to bring it up, but tax season starts today. So consider what happens under civil law to someone convicted of tax fraud. He may be sentenced to prison or fines. Yet those penalties are not enough. Even after he's been released from prison, he still has to pay the taxes he owed all along. So it's not enough to just have our sins purged away so that we're neutral before God by the passive obedience of Jesus. God's law must actually be fulfilled. We need the active righteousness of Jesus too. We need Jesus to offer his own righteous deeds to the Father on our behalf. So what I'm saying is that by his circumcision on today, the eighth day, our Savior began to reveal both his passive and his active obedience. Not only did he suffer for us, he also began to fulfill all the details of the law. He perfectly obeyed all the circumcision requirements that are written in Leviticus chapter 12. Listen to that chapter and compare to the gospel reading today. If a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb, a year old, for a burnt offering. Sounds like the Lamb of God. And a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. All of these details were performed in today's text, even down to the turtle doves. Jesus shed his blood for Mary's atonement and for ours. Now, it's good that Jesus suffered passively for our punishment under the law, and it's good that he actively fulfilled the whole law for us, but none of that righteousness would do us any good for our salvation if it were not also applied to us. And that is the purpose of baptism. Baptism is your new and better circumcision, as Colossians 2 declares. In Jesus, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. Baptized into Christ, you belong to him. You bear his saving name. Jesus has cut you out from the unbelieving world and made you sons of God with him. And he's clothed you in all of his righteousness. As today's epistle from Galatians 3 teaches, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So now, neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. In baptism, God created you anew, like the eighth day, the first day of a new week, a new cycle of creation. God circumcised your hearts, and now you are free from the law, free to begin doing God's commandments with a cheerful and a willing heart. And since you have the passive righteousness of Jesus, your sin is put away. Your iniquity is atoned for. Praise God. Since you have the active righteousness of Jesus, you can stop striving to please God by your own works. Your Savior has already pleased God by his works. Your works merit nothing, but his merit everything. And when you believe these promises, God credits you with all the righteousness of Christ, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. All the merit of Jesus, all his blood, and all his righteousness, it's all yours by faith. So rejoice in your perfect Savior, the one born of a woman to fulfill all righteousness. Rejoice with St. Paul in Galatians 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Rejoice that Jesus, your elder brother, has purified you through baptism to stand before the Father, clothed in his own perfect righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament or damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Take a drink. This is the true blood. Our Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Now may this body of blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you, and save you, grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in saving grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in saving grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you in saving grace and protection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may this body of blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take it, eat. This is the true body. Lord, you have been saved by Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body.
through the salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you strengthen us in the same toward faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.